Blog Talk Radio.
We're not here. We're on vacation. Kind of a pre-recorded thing. That's what this is. Good evening. Oh, good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale K from Spook Show. Here along with...
No, it isn't. It's live. Dave Binkley from Weird This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're here along with...
CW to help you keep you cool in the dog days of summer vacation.
Because you are cool for joining us once again as we continue on an extended vacation. Which means we're working.
Yep. There, Fogs Bang finally snuck in under the wire there. So welcome, Fogs.
Yep. You're just in time for a whole lot of radio offline. Dave and I have been plotting, scheming, preparing for this Halloween season.
The first set of plans are being set in pencil right now.
Yep. And crayon on my side.
And crayon, absolutely. And invisible ink, too.
That's right. Yeah, we got two more vacation stories from Rogues Gallery and Theater 5. One is kind of like
old,
a...
Good old Dick Powell back once again in Rogues Gallery. His character is very much like he was in Richard Diamond, Private Detective. It's kind of fun, considering that he was one of the first ones to do a pilot for Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. And at the same time, he was working with this writer who wasn't extremely well-known at the time yet, called Blake Edwards, and working on this program called Richard Diamond, Private Detective. He had the choice between the two, and he went with Richard Diamond.
Yeah, Blake Edwards, didn't he become some kind of famous with something pink?
He did. It wasn't pretty in pink either.
Oh.
Yep. So one of our stories is kind of like going on vacation, and the other is more like coming back from vacation. So
coming back from vacation, that's right.
So we'll do them in something of a chronological order, or at least a logical order.
And I have to admit, Dale, in the photo you created for the ad, you just look fabulous. You look absolutely fabulous.
I felt damn pretty.
Just gorgeous. Just absolutely just gorgeous.
I feel so damn pretty.
Having the two good-looking ones on the end, and then sticking me in the middle is a good place because I get lost in between the others, so that's a good thing.
I just would hate a female version of me. Oh my goodness, save us, world!
Oh no, run, screaming out of the room. Okay.
Yeah, that just I can't picture it really, but. Can't be pretty.
Yep. But we do have a lot of fun here tonight.
A lot of radio.
A lot of fun. Yeah. Kind of makes you wonder what happens. Oh, there, my computer's going wacko again. Thank you, Mr. Computer.
I blame Blog Talk.
Thank you.
I blame Blog Talk.
This one isn't Blog Talk. This one isn't Blog Talk, unfortunately.
I think we should blame him.
Yeah, why not? It's all Blog Talk's fault. I know they keep kicking me off the phone.
Yeah, I know. They got me yesterday too, CW. So
yeah, you guys.
You are not.
I don't know what was going on there. I promise it wasn't me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We know. Sure. Yeah, but at least I'm in good company when I get kicked off the phone.
Yeah, how come Dale never gets... Actually, that's not true. Dale does a direct dial, and sometimes he gets knocked off too. So
yeah, sometimes I have to call back in on the phone.
Yeah.
Once I get blocked off.
Yeah, no kidding.
Being on here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Blog Talk.
Well,
high
no
quality.
Kidding. Well, today I'm not on the Wi-Fi of that Domino's pizza place. Oh, how gauche! I'm at Pizza Hut.
Ah, there you go. A variety of pizzas. That's always a good thing.
Oh, diabetes poison. Pizza.
Well, I could go to a Tim Hortons. It'll get worse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they got the donuts, too, and stuff. Oh. Tim Hortons,
oh,
eh?
Tim Hortons, eh? Hockey puck.
There you go.
High sticking. Yay.
Our first tale from Rogue's Gallery, Blood on the Sand.
Ooh.
Yeah, it wasn't even a war movie with John Wayne. That sounds like a war movie with John Wayne, doesn't it?
It does.
Actually, that was a movie with Tyrone Powell about bullfighting.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Okay.
I believe so.
I bet you that was a lot of bull.
I bet you it was a lot of
that
blood.
That was hamburger on the... that's hamburger on the hoof there.
I don't want to fool around with a bull. What are they, about 1,500 pounds, 1,200 pounds or something?
On the low range, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm not winning that fight. I'm not winning that fight.
No.
No, they still do that silly thing, the running of the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. I believe there were three guys who should have been listening to Blog Talk Radio who got, let's say the bull got the better of the deal.
Nice.
Yes. Never mind.
Well, okay, let's move on to our radio program, shall we? For a nice save there, we'll slide right into Blood on the Sand from Rogue's Gallery, originally broadcast way back on
April 12th of 1940 and 1945.
The F.W. Fitch Company, makers of those fine Fitch products, presents Dick Powell as Private Detective Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Rogue speaking. Well, I was suffering one of my regular attacks of rigor indolence last year when I decided to commune with nature in a gentle sort of a way. So I made a reservation at the L7 Dude Ranch out in the desert. The afternoon I arrived at the ranch, I was lolling around the swimming pool, exposing my epidermis to the sun and admiring the scenery, when part of the scenery walked up and took a poke at another part of the scenery over some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen in or out of a white satin bathing suit. The poker was a paunchy 45, the pokey a very slick 30. And the cause of it all was a lovely, lovely 25, blonde and definitely feminine. I stayed out of it.
I've told you for the last time, Harding, I want you to stay away from my wife.
Brian, please, you've been drinking. This is no place to settle your quarrel with Tom.
I'm just as sick of you as you are of me, Mills, and so's Ann. You're no good to anybody.
Tom, don't, not here. Tom.
If you don't stay away from my wife, I'll kill you, Harding.
Please, come on, Brian, let's get out of here, please. Tom, I'll see you later.
This is the last time I'm going to warn you, Harding. If you don't stay away from me now...
Oh, shut up, you're drunk again. Talking that song, you're not going to kill anybody.
I'll see you later, Ann.
Come on, Brian, let's go now.
Would you mind talking to me? I'm a little embarrassed.
Oh, hello. Why don't you just look the other way? That's what I'm doing.
Maybe it's because I want to see Tom Harding get what's coming to him.
You don't like Mr. Harding?
Well, no. He considers himself the world's most attractive man.
Well, that's silly. I'm the world's most attractive man.
How nice. I'm the world's most attractive woman.
Well, what a couple we'd make. You like to know my name?
I know you. You're Richard Rogue.
Been reading my mail.
No, but you're a very famous person. I've seen your picture in the paper lots of times.
Society page, of course.
Was it? I don't remember.
Well, that's thoughtful of you. What's your name?
Lucia Logan.
Should I know it?
Not unless you're looking for a secretary. That's what I am.
Like the ride?
Love it. Some of my best friends are horses.
You're lucky. Some of my best friends are skunks. Want to go for an early morning ride with me tomorrow?
Tomorrow we greet the dawn on horseback and,
Yeah?
I'll wear a coat to keep me warm, Richard.
You know, Lucia, darling, this scene brings out the Gene Autry in me. Yes, sir. If I had my guitar, I'd sing for you, so help me. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. Yeah, this is for me, baby. Yep, someday I'm going to save enough money to buy me a ranch out here, and then I'm through with the crowded city. Yep. Me for the wide open spaces, with my dogs and my horses and...
And a pretty little partner to cook and sew.
And milk the cows and throw down the hay into the horses' stalls.
I'm not listening anymore.
Oh? What's ever happened to the pioneer woman?
Richard, look.
Hmm? Where?
Over there, where I'm pointing. There's a man lying there.
Huh? Yeah. Come on. He's hurt. Must have been thrown from his horse or something.
Yeah. I can't hang on, Richard.
Well, take it easy, then. Oh, boy. Whoa, whoa. Settle down. Whoa, whoa. Oh, no. This couldn't happen to me.
Who is it, Richard?
It's Tom Harding, baby. Stay on your horse.
Is he unconscious?
No. He's been shot. He's dead. I'll be back in a moment to tell you the rest of the story of Blood on the Sand, but first here's Jim Doyle, the man from the Fitch Company, who's going to give you men a shaving tip you can't afford to skip.
That's right, Dick. I want to tip you men off to the grandest, smoothest shave you've had in a long time. It's the kind of shave you can have all the time when you use Fitch's No Brush Shaving Cream. You see, Fitch's No Brush contains not one, but three important shaving ingredients. These three ingredients are blended together in a smooth, rich cream that lubricates your face instantly and prepares it for the shave. Your razor will fairly sail along over those whiskers, cutting them close and clean without nicking or scraping. It's easier on your face, easier on your razor blades, too. When you've finished, your face will have a cool, refreshed feeling that lingers for hours. No fooling, fellas, for a really solid comfort shave, switch to Fitch.
Men who say there's nothing like lather to give a smooth, swell shave will find Fitch's brush cream is tops. It gives a rich lather that stays moist longer, rinses off easier.
Next time, make it Fitch's shave cream, either brush or no brush type. Two handy economical sizes, 25 and 50 cents. And now here's Dick Powell again as Private Detective Richard Rogue.
As I was saying, before Jim Doyle put in that pitch for Fitch, when the great outdoors called me down to the L7 Dude Ranch in the desert for a two-week vacation, I didn't expect to meet a dream girl like Lucia Logan. And I didn't expect to hear a writer, Brian Mills, threaten to kill his friend, Tom Harding, if he didn't stay away from his wife, Anne. And I didn't expect to make a discovery, which Lucia and I made on a sunrise horseback ride the next morning. We were just riding along, enjoying the dawn, when we saw the body of a man lying on the floor of the desert. I reached the body first.
Who is it, Richard?
It's Tom Harding, baby. Stay on your horse.
Is he unconscious?
No. He's been shot. He's dead.
Oh, Richard.
He was murdered, and there's no gun here. Oh, why do things like this always happen to me?
Oh, Richard, let's get back to the ranch. I'm scared.
There's nothing to be scared of. The guy's dead.
But whoever shot him might still be around here, Richard.
Whoever shot him never was around here, baby. There's not a footprint in sight. And he was shot from long range, if I'm any good at my business.
But it's just getting light.
You remember last night, baby? Remember the moonlight? It didn't even take good shooting to kill this guy. you're Sheriff Kane, I take it, from the badge.
That's right. I just got back from looking at that body you found for me this morning.
Yeah?
He was shot with a .32-20 rifle, a deer gun.
No kidding. Wow. Have you figured out where the killer was when he did the shooting?
My boys are checking. You, going to help me out on this case, Rogue?
I'm on a vacation.
I can use any help you want to give me. I'll swear you in as a deputy.
No, thanks, Kane. Believe me, I bought no part of it. I'm up here for a rest, and I'm going to have it.
Well, let me know if you change your mind.
I sure will.
Oh, by the way, any ideas on who would want to kill Hardy?
Well, I just got here yesterday afternoon. I don't know anything about the guy.
But you heard his life threatened yesterday at the swimming pool, didn't you?
Oh, you know about that, huh?
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know how much you weren't going to cooperate, Rogue.
Well, I knew somebody would tell you. Now, just leave me out of it, Kane. I pass.
Well, sorry. I'll see you later, Rogue.
You mind if I sit here with you for dinner, Richard?
Well, hello. I've been looking for you, Luscious Lucia. Have a chair.
You've been avoiding me.
I've been avoiding everybody. I'm on a vacation. I don't want to get mixed up in that murder.
You know, everybody thinks Mr. Mills did it.
What do you mean, everybody thinks so?
Well, I think so. He threatened to kill Tom. You heard him.
Well, how about Mrs. Mills? She was having trouble with Harding, too, wasn't she?
Yes, but I still think it was that drunken husband of hers.
Oh, well, you do, huh? Now, you want a tip from me, baby?
What?
Don't be going around having hunches about murders. And if you have them, shut up about them. Stay out of it.
Well, the sheriff won't let anybody leave the ranch.
You came here for a week, didn't you? How about a ride in the morning?
We didn't get very far with that one this morning, did we?
Mr. Rogue?
Yeah? Oh, hello, Mills.
Could I see you for a moment, Mr. Rogue?
Well, I'd like to eat my dinner if they ever serve it.
Oh, perhaps later, huh?
Well, what do you want to see me about, Mills?
In your professional capacity, Mr. Rogue.
I'm not in my professional capacity.
Could I drop by your cabin later this evening?
Well, sure, if you can walk that far, I'll be there.
Thank you.
My goodness, you're popular. Just like being with a movie star.
Yeah. How about that horseback ride in the morning? Want to try it again?
I'd love to. Such exciting things happen when I go for rides with you.
Come in. Oh, hello, Mills. Come in.
My wife is with me, Rogue.
Huh? Well, how do you do, Mrs. Mills?
Hello.
Oh, well, wait a minute. I'll get these bottles off the chair and we can all sit down. These cabins weren't built for entertaining large parties, were they?
No, they weren't.
Oh. Well, now that we're all comfortable, Mills, what do you want to see me about? And the answer is no.
Please, Mr. Rogue, you don't even know what Brian was going to say.
You want me to get mixed up with the murder of Tom Harding, right?
Yes, I do, Rogue. And I'm willing to pay you well for your time.
I'm not interested. You see, this is the first vacation I've taken for about
3 years.
Rogue,
I'm being persecuted. That hick sheriff, he's been hounding me.
Sheriff Kane seems to be a pretty astute officer. Did you kill Harding Mills?
No, he didn't. He was with me all that evening, all that night. I told the sheriff that. Brian was never out of my sight.
My wife can give me a perfect alibi, Rogue. I'm not the sort of man who kills people, and I'm not going to be hounded by a country sheriff.
Look, Mills, I'm sorry if you're being hounded, but I'm on a vacation, so
you,
I don't want...
You must protect my husband, Mr. Rogue. He's not a murderer. The sheriff suspects him because he and Harding had words yesterday.
I heard the words. One of them was kill. You threatened to kill Harding, didn't you, Mills?
He was annoying my wife. Why, nobody would have ever heard of him if it hadn't been for me. A writer. Couldn't even write home for money.
Harding was a horrible pest, Mr. Rogue. He wouldn't let me alone.
Yeah, so I've heard. So, just what was the relationship between the two of you and Tom Harding?
He and I have been collaborating on plays for years. He was engaged to Anne when I married her a year ago. Since then, he's been giving us nothing but trouble.
I never loved him, but I couldn't convince him of that. And I know one thing. My husband didn't kill him.
I'll give you $500 to work on this case for me, Rogue.
What do you expect me to do?
Find the real murderer. Protect me. Convince that stupid sheriff I couldn't have killed Harding.
All right, give me the $500. Got it with you?
Yeah, I got it with me.
Okay, now here's what I'll do. I'll try to locate the real murderer, whether it's you or whoever it is. And when I find him, I'll turn him over to the sheriff. Understand?
Yes. But Rogue, I didn't kill Tom Harding.
I don't know what it is about money that frays my moral fiber, but when the man handed me those nice, crisp $100 bills, all my bad intentions about enjoying my vacation disappeared like friends when I'm broke. After Brian Mills and his glamorous wife left, I smoked a cigarette and turned in. I was going riding at dawn. And when I got to the stables next morning, Lucia wasn't there yet, but Mrs. Mills was. She was wearing a riding habit to which no horse nor man would ever say nay, and of all things, a pair of pigskin play shoes. Oh, very fetching and very peculiar.
Oh, hello, Mr. Rogue. You off for a morning ride?
Yes, I mentioned it last night. Remember?
Did you? Oh, I guess you did. I was so upset about Brian's trouble with the sheriff. You are going to help him, aren't you, Mr. Rogue? He's such a sweetheart, and scandal would ruin him.
Sure. Well, I took his money. I'm going to do what I can for him.
Oh, I hope it's taught him a lesson. He has a terrible temper when he's drinking. He should never have caused that scene at the pool.
You were the cause of that scene. What did Tom Harding have on you?
Nothing. We used to be good friends, that's all.
Oh, I see. You're not telling all you know, are you, Mrs. Mills?
Mr. Rogue, I want you to promise me something.
I'll listen.
You said last night that if you found incriminating evidence on my husband, you'd turn it over to the authorities.
Yeah, sure I will.
Please, Mr. Rogue, I have some money of my own. I want you to promise me that you'll tell me first if you find anything which makes you suspicious of Brian.
Hey, I don't get it. I thought he had an ironclad alibi.
He has. And besides, Brian couldn't kill anybody. I want to do everything I can to protect him from worry and persecution.
Look, I know how you feel, Mrs. Mills. If your husband isn't guilty, don't worry. We'll keep him out of it.
Hi, Richard.
Oh, hello there, beautiful. You know Mrs. Mills?
We've met.
Hello.
Our horses are all ready. I've been out helping to saddle them.
Okay, let's go.
That's a pretty interesting situation there on Rogue's Gallery.
You know, we need the Garculator to figure out what that $500 fee he was going to give me would be worth back in 1945 there.
$500 today?
$500, what it would be today, yeah.
Let me think of a magical calculation.
Eeny, meeny, chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak.
The spirits say $6.95 worth of gas.
$6 of gas? Okay.
Yes.
CW was making that pizza.
She is.
Oh, my.
That's her smacking me around into shape.
Nah, well, good luck with that. His wife has tried for years.
Yep.
So.
Good luck.
Oh, my.
No avail. No avail. But, pretty good story. Dick Powell, yeah, he is similar to Richard Diamond in this.
Very much. And even listening to the pilot, we'll play that sometime, the pilot episode that he cut for Johnny Dollar. It was very similar to the same character, nothing like the Johnny Dollars that came after him. But yet, he could have been Johnny Dollar if all he had to say is, yeah, I'll take the role. And he would have been the very first Johnny Dollar.
Wow.
But I like his sarcasm and things like that that comes that he brings with confidence to the shows, both this and Richard Diamond.
Yeah, that's a good part of the character, I think.
It was I'm back. But $500.
I was wondering that $500, I kind of fainted when it says, what year is this again for $500?
Yeah, 1945.
That's still
got to be at least a few grand.
Money back then, and
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, you could buy a good running car for $500 back then.
Month.
You could buy a good running car for $500.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There it is. Little Bob's got it. With inflation to be $7,832 in 2022.
Holy crap.
I think I'd become involved in it for that kind
inflation.
Of loot also, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I could put my vacay for that. I would indeed. Yeah, oh, and that movie that I mentioned, Tyrone Powell, it was not Blood on the Sand, it's Blood and Sand. Sorry, similar titles, but different.
Aha, but very close. Blood and
very,
Sand.
Very, very close. So now I'm curious if there was a movie called Blood on the Sand.
The date on this radio play was
1945.
Okay, Blood and Sand with Tyrone Powell was 1941.
Ooh. Blood and Sand. Oh, that's different then.
Yep. Yeah. 50 yep. Cent. All I'm getting is that 50
and,
Cent, Blood in the Sand. So it's a rap song. But it wasn't
oh, yeah,
a Blood
that
on
too.
The Sand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a rap song. Yeah, yeah,
well, you should be hooked up with that, Dave. I mean, you put in Coolio in that little conversation that you had a couple of weeks ago, you know, so.
There you go.
Oh, we lost her. We lost her. Thanks,
we
Blog
lost
Talk.
Her again. Thanks, Blog Talk. They're kicking my friends out of here. Well, before we lose our listeners, we ought to hit the end of Rogue's Gallery, Blood on the Sand. In the sand, with the sand, because of sand.
Around the sand, yeah. Under the sand.
Sand gets in your eye.
And in your sandwich.
I don't like this, Richard. Climbing mountains on horseback. What do you think of Mrs. Mills?
I don't. There's a method in my madness, baby. I'm a working man today.
You are? Who are you working for?
Secret.
You've decided to get mixed up in that murder, haven't you?
Yep, something nice happened to me. That's what we're doing here at the spot where we located that body. I was sighting in on this pile of rocks.
Are you being mysterious?
No, not especially. Today I'm being a detective. You see, Angel, Harding was shot with a deer gun.
Everybody knows that. I'm no detective, and I know that.
Okay, but do you know enough to figure out where the shot came from? By the way the body fell?
I don't even care. I came out for a horseback ride, and I want to enjoy it. This is no fun, walking a horse up the side of a mountain.
Well, we haven't far to go. Just stay with me a little longer.
And to think I turned down a date with that nice-looking blonde boy from San Francisco this morning.
Oh, look, are you going to stop beefing? Oh, boy.
Why are you stopping, Richard?
Oh, I just want to look around here a little bit. Oh, boy.
What are you looking for?
I'm prospecting for lead, maybe with a copper jacket. Come on, we're walking from here.
Oh, no.
Come on, I want to take a look behind that big rock up there.
I'm going to be so stiff, I won't be able to dance tonight.
Good. We'll set them all out someplace near the punch bowl.
Oh, no. I'm going to be with that blonde boy from San Francisco. And if you so much as ask me for a dance, I'll...
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Look. Look there on the ground behind that boulder.
Where? Oh, those little copper things. They're shells, aren't they?
They certainly are. Three empty shells. 3220s. Look out. Don't touch them. I want them for fingerprints.
Do you think they're the shells that killed Tom Harding?
Well, I'm willing to bet they are, baby. I think we just put the finger on a murderer.
Richard?
Yeah?
Look down there.
Where?
Way over there on that next peak. The sun's flashing on something.
Hmm? Oh. Oh, yeah, I see it. Hmm. Somebody is looking us over with a pair of field glasses, I think. Probably the murderer. He wouldn't like to see us looking around up here.
What are you putting in your pocket?
Another little souvenir, see?
Oh.
Get on, baby. Get on. That was a rifle bullet. Get on here behind this rock.
Our story will continue in just a moment. But first, I'd like to remind you that the holiday season coming up will be the gayest in years, with peace on earth at last a reality. You ladies will undoubtedly want to keep in the spirit of things by accentuating your costumes and hairstyles with gay, sparkling jewelry so popular now. But remember, dull, drab-looking hair is not the kind of background you want for your jeweled hair accessories. Try using Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo to give your hair luster and a jewel-like sparkle. Fitch's Saponified Shampoo is made from mild coconut and pure vegetable oils, so it won't dry your hair. Even immediately after washing, your hair will be soft and shiny, easy to set into your favorite holiday hairstyle. Using Fitch's Saponified Shampoo will take only a few minutes from your busy day, too. Just a little shampoo makes mountains of fluffy, fragrant lather. And since Fitch's Saponified Shampoo contains its own patented rinsing agent, you won't have to bother with a special after rinse. To keep your hair looking radiantly lovely at its holiday best, use Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo. And now we return to Rogue's Gallery with Dick Powell as Private Detective Richard Rogue.
My thoughts were as bitter as a quinine sandwich as I ducked down behind that boulder and listened to the bullets sing. With the whole world to get killed in, why did Tom Harding have to pick out a dude ranch where I was sweating out a vacation? I reached into my pocket where I'd put the empty rifle bullets. The killer had fired at Harding, and they were there. I felt in my back pocket, and the other clue I'd found was safe. I tried to pull Lucia down beside me just as I heard another bullet sing. Lucia screamed, and my heart did a handspring in my throat.
Hmm? Oh, I'm shocked. Huh? Richard, why did I ever come with you?
Where did you get it? Where'd you get it? Let me see.
Right here, in the shoulder.
Huh? Well, get your hand away from there. Oh, you're not shot, youngster. You're not even bleeding.
I'm not?
Well, no. You must have just been hit with a chip of a rock or something, that's all. Now, come on, let's get out of here. Stay low now. I'll go first.
Oh, if I ever get back to that ranch alive, Richard Rogue, and if you ever speak to me again...
Oh, take it easy, baby. This will be something to tell our grandchildren about.
Our grandchildren? Richard Rogue, I never want to see you again.
We got back to our horses and got back to the ranch house all right. I made Lucia promise not to say a word to anybody until I had a chance to think this thing out. And she promised. She would have promised anything to get rid of me. I went to my cabin to look over the stuff I'd found up there behind that boulder, and as I opened the door to my cabin... I got it. Right behind the ear, as usual. I watched the stars go by for a while, and finally I grabbed on the tail of a comet and didn't let go until I was within dumping distance of cloud number 8. And there he was, my alter enemy, Ugor.
You're a little late tonight, Rogie.
Yeah, what happened?
Somebody wanted to know what you found up there on that mountain. You should have stuck to your vacation, Rogie.
Well, whoever it was, I'm going to have them over a barrel in a few minutes. Oh, I got to get back there. Help me.
Oh, you better rest a while.
I can't. So long, midget. See you next week.
So long, Rogie.
Thank you.
I came to and felt my head. It was, oh, it was really caved in. Whoever hit me used a piece of firewood. I looked in my pants pocket. The handkerchief I'd wrapped the empty cartridges in was gone. I grabbed at my back pocket, and it was there. That other little clue I'd picked up there behind that boulder. I staggered to my feet, and I headed for the main ranch house. I saw the sheriff's car outside. I wanted to talk with him.
Rogue! Hey, what's the matter? What's happened to you, man?
Oh, nothing much. Somebody just battered my brains out, that's all.
Oh.
Yeah, I want to talk with you, though. Come on.
Sure.
Well, I've been working on that murder for you.
Oh, swell.
Yeah, I was hired by one of the suspects.
Not Mills.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, he's guilty as the devil, Rogue.
How do you figure?
Motive. He had a double-barreled one. First, Harding had been making up to his wife. Second, Harding and Mills had drawn up partnership papers, providing that if either one of them died, the other would be sole owner of anything they were working on.
Yeah?
Sure. I've been checking on them through the L.A. police. They've got a play that every picture company is bidding for and every Broadway producer is interested in, a gold mine. Well, now that Harding's dead, the play is the sole property of Mills. Those two motives, good enough for you?
Well, how about his alibi? His wife said he was never out of her sight. If that's true, he couldn't possibly have killed Harding.
Well, I got a call from his wife telling me to meet her at their cabin at noon. That's going to be the end of that alibi, I think. She sounded nervous and scared. I'm going over there now. Going with me?
Sure. Yeah, I'll go. Oh, I found the place where the killer waited for Harding to keep his date to be killed.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah, and I also found the casings from the bullets that killed him.
Well, where are they? Any fingerprints?
Somebody just knocked my brains out and took them from me.
How long ago?
Oh, it must have been a half an hour.
That's what you get for not cooperating with me, Rogue. You cost me...
Hey, that came from the Mills cabin. Come on.
Right. Drop that gun, Mrs. Mills.
I killed him. I killed my husband.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure have.
Hey, what happened?
He had that rifle. He was going to kill me.
Why was he going to kill you? Lock the door, Kane.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Now, look, Mrs. Mills. You'll have to get a hold of yourself. Why was your husband going to kill you?
Because I knew I was going to tell the sheriff he wasn't with me last night. He was drinking. He took that rifle and left before Tom Harding was killed. I told him I couldn't go on lying.
Oh, that's why you sent for me. You were going to break his alibi.
Yes. He killed Tom. He was boasting about it to me. Oh, poor Brian. I loved him, but I couldn't.
Is that rifle there, 3220, Sheriff?
Mm-hmm. It's the murder gun, all right. Well, looks like this case is all wrapped up, Rogue. I'm sorry, Mrs. Mills.
Now, look, Sheriff, this case is all wrapped up, all right, but not the way you think.
Hmm?
Mills never killed anybody.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, Mrs. Mills missed something when she beat my brains out and shook me down for those cartridges a while ago.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, you'd better have something to back that up, Rogue.
But if I haven't, I'll take the rap. Look, Kane, you see those fancy ladies' cowboy boots over there in the corner?
Yeah.
Get away from them.
I got her. Bring those boots over here, Kane.
Let go of me.
Okay, Rogue. How about letting me in on it?
Well, half the heel's gone off the left boot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let go of me.
If you don't stand still, Mrs. Mills, they're going to slug you. I've got that broken boot heel right here in my pocket, Kane, and I had a witness when I found it this afternoon. Up there behind that boulder where Mrs. Mills here waited for Tom Harding to keep his date with her and a couple of slugs from a 3220. Well, that's the end of the story. Mrs. Mills didn't want her husband, and she didn't want her old boyfriend. She just wanted to own that play everybody was fighting for. So when her husband threatened her boyfriend, she went into action. She invited Tom Harding to a rendezvous on the desert and shot him to death. And then when her husband was suspected of the crime, she gave him an alibi so she could kill him later and swear it was self-defense. She would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't have been for that half of boot heel. The minute I saw it lying there behind that boulder, I thought of her western riding habit that morning and the pigskin play shoes.
That started my massive intellect to work, and of course, when that happened, that was all. I also remembered the faint odor of her expensive perfume just before that log knocked my brains out. And, well, after the excitement was over and I had combed the lump out of my hair, I went over to see Luscious Lucia.
Oh, you.
Oh, hello, dear. I just thought I'd drop over.
I told you I never wanted to see you again.
Oh, well, she was a little on the chubby side anyway. You know what I mean? This is Dick Powell again, ladies and gentlemen. Believe me, Richard Rogue is the only man who ever made money on a dude ranch vacation. We hope you enjoyed our story. Ray Buffum wrote it. Leith Stevens composed and conducted the music, and Dee Engelbach produced and directed. Don't forget now, we all have got a date next Thursday night. We're going to do a little story about murder, arson, and a lovely lady. We call it Fortune and Furs. So make a date with us, will you? Thanks for listening, and good night, all. Now here's Jim Doyle.
Don't forget to tune in again next Thursday, same time. Oh, and by the way, be sure to see Dick Powell in his newest RKO picture, Cornered, at your local theater soon. And as I was saying, don't forget to tune in again next Thursday, same time, same station, when you will again hear Dick Powell as Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery. Remember, if dandruff is your problem, ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo. Removes dandruff the first time it is used. Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo is the only shampoo whose guarantee to remove dandruff is backed by one of the world's largest insurance companies. This statement can be made by no other shampoo. Ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo at your drug or toilet goods counter, barber, or beauty shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H.
And the product is now being run by Son of Fitch. All right, that was...
what kind of drink they use for the Ketchos, Fitch?
Do we got a moral for this?
We do, sort of.
All right, well... We rehearse and we rehearse and we rehearse. Erie House Radio proudly presents a garless... moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar, if you're on vacation and you find blood on the sand and it isn't a John Wayne war movie, which it isn't, then it's time to leave the beach and head to the mountains. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah! Head to the mountains. Wasn't that a beer commercial?
I don't know. Maybe.
Coors. Bush, head for the mountains.
Or Coors.
Head for the mountains.
Head for the mountains of Bush. Yes, yes it was. Yes, yes it was.
Ah, there we go.
Why is it we know all the beer commercials? Why
you
is that?
You had to make that assumption, didn't you, Dale? Thank
why
you so much.
Do we always know about the beer commercials? I don't know.
Oh, my. So that was fun.
I think the CW enjoying more of a fine wine, perhaps, or a light brandy, maybe.
Yes.
Be more cognac, cultured.
A cognac, if you please.
Cognac.
A cognac. A cognac.
Yeah, but isn't that being stopped from being imported right now? So it would be probably worth a lot if you have it.
Really?
Cognac isn't. Really?
Why is
that Russian?
It was French.
Isn't that Russian?
No. You're thinking of vodka. Vodka. Cognac is en français.
I never knew. I always thought cognac was a Russian thing.
Нет.
Wow.
Нет.
No.
Comrade.
Нет. cognac is très français. As is brandy. Of course, now you can get probably a Parma cognac. That Parma wine.
Parma.
Welcome to Parma wine.
Wait, what?
Did somebody say Parma?
Uh-oh. Did someone say Parma?
Close enough.
Oh well.
Hey.
It's almost. That's almost Parma. That's the outside of Parma.
And. And guys, I'm going to have to be a total party pooper, but I am going to have to depart because the WORK just called, and they want me to WORK. Apparently, they're going to actually pay me for it. Go fig. But
wow. I thought they were calling to say, we hear you on Blog Talk. What are you doing on here?
That's why
get
they're
back to work, you.
That's why they're paying her to come.
No, that was the other job. No, that was the other job where I was on Blog Talk and working at the same time. But I don't work there anymore. So if they're hearing that, you lost a great worker. So
yes.
Nice to you. There.
And co-host. And co-host. So there.
You're
the new champ.
There you go. Yeah. Take so
that.
I was actually getting paid. I was actually getting paid to be on Blog Talk. You just weren't paying me. Take that. Yeah, you'll take it. You'll take it. Like it. Yeah, see, you'll take it.
Well, since you're a little bit out of our budget, we wouldn't want to keep you from making a few bucks. You know, keep the utilities on and stuff.
Yeah, I can make enough for.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there she goes.
Blog Talk drop. Blog
she
drop
may not
dropped
be back.
Again. Oh, my.
Yeah, thanks,
Blog
Talk.
Oh, my goodness.
Dirty rotten.
Blog Talk.
Maybe I shouldn't have made that crack about the utilities. Anyway. Dun, dun,
there we
dun,
go.
Dun. There we go. So that was going on vacation with Rogues Gallery.
Yep.
You got a fun story coming up next, Dave, from Theater 5, My Other Self.
My Other Self, yes. It's what happens sometimes when you come back from a vacation.
Hmm. You find out the cat is, like, taking over.
Yeah, the cat and the dog had a lot of parties, and you guys, yeah, big mess to clean up. Yeah.
Yep. Big time party, those rascals. I always used to accuse the cats of conspiring.
They do.
Yes. When you have a couple of them, I hear them whispering at night.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, they do. They plot. They scheme.
Yeah,
someday,
then they make deals with the mice. You know, that's when you got to put your foot down.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
if they're wheeling and dealing with the mice, we got problems.
You got problems. Big problems.
Then that's all you'll hear all day long is... That would just... It would be maddening. Yeah, oh, there we go.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be maddening to hear that often.
Yeah, it would.
Like you do around here. So, without further ado, let's move along to Theater 5. A little more modern production from way back.
Yeah, as we hit the mid-60s there, as... This is episode number 19, My Other Self, from, this is August 27th of 1960 and 4.
You know I'm crazy about you, Alvin.
Oh, gee. Wow.
When you kissed me that way, I could just do it, Alvin.
Oh, guy, clean it up.
Oh, no. Alvin. Wait a minute. You are Alvin, aren't you, Alvin?
The
Theater 5 presents My Other Self.
I've got to keep myself calm. I've got to face it. I've got to think it all through. Now, maybe the best way is to think of everything that's happened. Start with last night when I returned from my vacation in New Jersey. Last night. Oh, it seems like a year ago. I got home about 8. I'd been away for 3 weeks. 3 weeks vacation. And I got home about 8 carrying my suitcase. I got into the elevator, and there was Maxie, the elevator man.
Evening, Mr. Jones.
Good evening, Maxie. How have you been?
Well, they ain't changed none since this morning.
What? Oh, well, of course, I didn't see you this morning.
Well, maybe you was hungover.
What? What do you mean?
What do I mean?
Now, Maxie, I don't appreciate that kind of joke. I think you know my views on drinking.
Oh!
I asked you civilly a moment ago how things had been with you for the past 3 weeks.
Oh, not as good as they've been with you.
That was the first strange thing. I didn't know what Maxie was laughing at. Oh, he irritated me, of course, but Maxie had always been a most slipshod and disrespectful employee. I hadn't been in the apartment 10 minutes, 9 to be exact, when the phone rang. Yes?
This is Alvin?
This is Alvin Jones, yes.
You sound different.
Who is this?
Oh, for crying out loud, Alvin, this is Rosie.
I don't know any Rosie.
Oh, that's a hot one.
What number are you calling? Now, look, this is Lyceum 54598. What number are you calling?
Oh, Alvin, you kill me.
My name is Alvin, madam, but my last name is Jones.
Oh, no kidding. Come on, cut the kick, Alvin, honey. Look, I got good news. I don't have a date tonight after all.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about I should come over there. That's what I'm talking about. I broke the date just for you, honey.
You have the wrong number.
Oh, come on, Alvin. Cut out the kid.
If you do not ring off immediately, I shall call both the police and the telephone company.
Oh, I get it. You got another girl there with you.
Now, see here.
Nah, don't worry, honey. I'm broad-minded. Almost as broad-minded as you. Get it? I'll just do my hair and nails tonight. But tomorrow night, Stella, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you're a card, you are.
It was most annoying, and somewhat puzzling, too. But I never permit anything to get in the way of my established routine. I went to bed at 10 o'clock precisely, and at exactly 2:47, I was awakened by the telephone. Yes?
Hey, Alvin, baby.
Who is this?
It's me, Alvin. Hey, where you been tonight? The joint's still open. Why don't you come on down? We need some laughs.
I'm afraid I don't know who you are, and at any rate, it's 2:47 in the morning.
Well, you said you dropped in tonight, Alvin, baby.
Oh, you have the wrong number. I was quite angry. I could not get back to sleep. And as I lay there in bed, I remembered suddenly that when I had come into the apartment earlier, I had forgotten to wind my 8-day clock. So I got up and went into the living room to do so. I had been away for 3 weeks, and my 8-day clock was running. It was terribly frightening. Inside, I was shaking, and there was nothing I could do about it. I drank a glass of milk to try to calm myself. Then I dropped the glass. I had been away for 3 weeks. How did it happen that there was fresh milk in the refrigerator? Toward dawn, I dozed off. But the last thing I remember, I was trembling. In the morning, when the elevator came up for me, Maxie was back on duty again.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning, Maxie. Maxie?
Yes?
Did you or anyone else in the building let anyone into my apartment in the last 21 days?
What? 21 days? You mean 3 weeks? No, Mr. Jones.
Well, when I came home last night, my clock was ticking.
Well, why not, Mr. Jones? That's what clocks do. They tick.
Well, who set it?
Didn't you?
Maxie, it's an 8-day clock. I want to know if anyone's been in my apartment in the last 3 weeks.
Nobody but you, as far as I know.
Me?
Sure. Oh, and that girl, too.
What girl?
Well, here we are, main floor.
What girl, Maxie?
Oh, you're some kidder, Mr. Jones.
Now, did I understand you to say that there was a girl in my apartment?
Now, look, I know you told me no mention to anyone else, but what's the harm in mentioning her to you? We both know about it.
Maxie!
Now you sounded the way you used to be.
Well, what do you mean by the way I used to be?
Well, you know, the way you always was before lately. You know, stiff, nasty kind of.
Hmm.
Boy, I never seen such a change since you got that girl. Some dish she is, too, huh?
Well, there was clearly only one thing to do, and I did it. Instead of going directly to my office, though it troubled me that I would be 15 minutes late, I made directly for the police station in my precinct. I was led into Lieutenant Hart's office. I explained the incredible situation, but apparently not very well.
I'm not certain I get this, Mr. Jones. An 8-day clock was ticking?
Yes, sir, and I had been away for 3 weeks.
And people kept calling you?
Yeah, that's right, Lieutenant. A young woman, well, she sounded young, named, Rose, and a man who seemed to have been drinking.
Well, lots of people get the wrong number.
No, these people were calling my number. They knew my name. They acted as though I should know who they were.
All right, what do you want me to do?
Well, obviously, Lieutenant, somebody has been using my apartment during the 3 weeks that I've been away, and I want the police to try to find out who it is.
But you say the elevator man thought you'd been living there for those 3 weeks?
Yes, that's correct. I can't explain that.
Sure you haven't been living there?
I was on vacation at Lake Millville in New Jersey.
You can prove that.
Well, now, really, Lieutenant, why should I have to?
Something else. Who knows you in the neighborhood?
Oh, well, several of the tenants in the building. Then there are the stores, you know, the people in the stores in my block. The florist, for example. We often pass the time of day. And the people in the supermarket.
How about the liquor store? There's a liquor store, isn't there?
I'm not a customer of the liquor store. I do not drink. But the proprietor, Mr. James, sometimes he takes the air out front, and I've had several pleasant conversations with him. He knows me.
Do you always talk like that?
I beg your pardon?
Never mind, Mr. Jones. I'll look into this. Don't worry. I won't brush it off. It interests me, and I'll be in touch.
I felt vaguely that Lieutenant Hart seemed to be investigating me instead of the interloper who had made use of my apartment. But at least he had promised an investigation. When I returned home, Maxie took me up in the elevator.
Here's your mail, Mr. Jones. I didn't have time to bring it up.
Oh, thank you, Maxie. Maxie.
Hmm?
During the last 3 weeks, did I ever ask you to borrow your pass key?
Yeah, sure. Well, you remember, about 3 weeks ago, you locked yourself out. Came in here at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, you did. I gave you my pass key.
Mm-hmm. I did give it back to you, didn't I?
Oh, sure. Next morning, because when I gave it to you, I was going off duty.
Thank you, Maxie. Thank you very much. It was a little clearer now. Somebody had got hold of that key, had one made for himself, and, well, of course, whoever it was had kept his head averted whenever he rode in the elevator with Maxie. When I got into my apartment, I thought it all through, and while not everything was explained by this business of the key, I felt that I should let Lieutenant Hart know right away. But before I could call, the doorbell sounded.
Hi, Alvin, honey.
I don't believe I... Are you Rosie?
I ain't Elizabeth Taylor. Well, come on, Alvin. Aren't you going to let me in and give me a drink?
You recognize me?
Just because you got a haircut, you think you're a different man from all the other times I've been here? Oh, how's that little drinky, Alvin?
You recognize me? Good heavens.
Good gravy! She recognized him.
Yeah. Uh-oh, that means she can spot him in a lineup, right?
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. There goes your alibi. Oh, the heck.
Interesting tale. Interesting.
And a fast-moving one.
It is. Well, you know, when you only got 20 minutes to tell a story, you better keep moving along.
Yeah, that they do.
Yeah. But, yeah, fast-paced story and the perils of going on vacation. This is why I never go on vacation. See, I'm afraid of something like this happening to me.
Ah.
You know, women calling day and night and drinking and carousing and all that stuff. See, I'm afraid that's what would happen if I went on vacation and came back.
You say it like it's a bad thing. What?
Oh, shoot. Maybe I need to take a vacation.
There you go. Oh, great. Now I got us both in trouble.
Yep.
Yay. Good story. We're probably going to have a little bonus time at the end here, too. This one's not a particularly long episode, which is fine. We're always, always prepared to bring you more fun on Erie House Radio.
Yep, got that wheel going, got that jukebox to knock a tune or two off of, that kind of a thing. So,
yep. Angel's working on her sound over there.
She has more trouble with her sound.
Well, we'll get that resolved, hopefully.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap up Theater 5. My Other Self. There's more than one of him, it seems.
Yeah. It does seem. So it does.
Here's the conclusion. We'll be back.
I stood aside and let the girl in. Rosie. And she recognized me. I couldn't understand it. She made herself right at home. She knew my apartment as well as I did. She even knew something about it that I didn't know. That in one of the kitchen cabinets there was some liquor. She made some drinks. I wouldn't have known how. And she even told me where to sit down.
Right here beside me on the couch, Alvin.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, you're just great at this, just formal act. Here's your drink.
Well, thank you. I'm quite unaccustomed to this sort of thing.
Oh, you can kill me. Skull.
Skull. We clink glasses, is that it?
A girl never knows what to expect from you. Now this formal bit's a new one. I like it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness, this is rather a delightful concoction.
Oh, this is rather a delightful concoction. Okay, Alvin, I'll let you have one more gulp of it.
Oh, thank you. My.
Now, put it down.
Very well.
Now, Alvin, honey. Alvin.
Well, what is it? I'm at a loss to know what it is you expect of me.
You want me to tell you?
I'm afraid you'll have to.
Okay, I'll play along. It's kind of fun. Just to put your arms around me, you big lug.
Oh,
Alvin.
Oh, Rosie.
You know, I'm crazy about you, honey.
Perhaps I ought to tell you.
Tell me what?
Nothing. Are you really, Rosie?
Really what?
Crazy about me?
Why, I shouldn't say it, but... Oh, I am. Oh, I sure am. You're the top, Sonny, darling.
Oh, Rosie.
Oh, darling.
Excuse me, won't you?
Oh, hello, Mr. Jones.
Oh, Lieutenant Hart. Come in, won't you? Rosie, this is Lieutenant Hart.
Oh, Buzz, I'm getting out of here.
Oh, Rosie, no, please.
It might be just as well. I have no reason to hold this young lady. And I do want to talk to you alone.
Well, I'm on my way.
Rosie, wait. Where will I see you?
The usual place.
The usual place, but where is...
Relax, Mr. Jones. You'll find her. She looks findable to me.
Well, All right. Sit down, Lieutenant.
Thank you. Did you get any mail today?
Hmm? Oh, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I did. I took it from Maxie in the elevator, and I never looked at it.
Why don't you look at it now?
Well, all right. Here it is. And now, what's this?
A bill from the florist downstairs, right?
Yes, and good heavens, it's for,
one dozen roses each night for the last 3 weeks.
Well, yes, Bob. What does this mean?
I imagine it means you gave the girl roses every night just because her name is Rose.
Well, I didn't, Lieutenant. I never met her before tonight.
You've got another bill there, haven't you?
Oh, yes, yes. Why, this one's from the liquor store. Why, that's incredible. I never bought any liquor in my life.
That's what the liquor store guy told me just now. He never bought any liquor before the last 3 weeks. And the florist told me about the roses. And they both know you. You told me that yourself. They say it was you that came to their places and talked to them and bought this stuff.
I don't know what to say.
I knew you had those bills because the two storekeepers told me they sent them to you. Now, what they're saying, Mr. Jones, is that you were here during the last 3 weeks, not in Lake Millville, New Jersey.
Well, I just don't understand, Lieutenant. I was at Lake Millville.
Mr. Jones, you feel all right?
Certainly I do.
Do you ever get headaches?
Well, I... Yes, yes, once in a while.
Did you get any headaches in Lake Millville?
No, I don't think I got... Well, yes, yes, in a way. When I stayed out in the sun, sunbathing, I got headaches out in the sun once in a while. But I don't see...
Did you ever hear of schizophrenia?
That's a split personality, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, split personality. A man gets a headache, closes his eyes, maybe dozes off in the sun at Lake Millville. Presto. He opens his eyes, gets up. He's not prissy and formal any longer. No, he's a loud, funny, lively, swinging guy. He isn't afraid of girls any longer. He's a good-time Charlie. When he goes back to being Mr. Stiff and Formal, he can't remember anything about it.
Oh, that can't be true.
What time do you go to bed at the lake?
10 o'clock. I always go to bed at 10 o'clock.
I bet you do at that. You go to sleep at 10 o'clock, I think you do. You've only got a 40-mile drive. It's hours before you have to wake up back in Millville. To paint the town, get back there, and wake up as old Mr. Stiff and Formal again.
Schizophrenia?
Schizophrenia. Split personality. Think it over, Mr. Jones.
When he was gone, I stood for a long time just staring at the door. And then I remembered Rosie and how it had felt sipping that drink and then putting my arms around her. And then I remembered what Lieutenant Hart had said about split personality. And all of a sudden, I was out the door. And when the elevator came...
Hi, Mr. Jones.
Maxie, you know Rosie, don't you?
Oh, sure. You introduced me, don't you remember? About 3 weeks ago or so.
All right. If Rosie says she'll meet me in the usual place, where do you suppose that would be?
Well, that's the name of the bar 3 blocks down, Mr. Jones. The usual place.
I ran down the street, stumbling a little. And I came to that bar, and I went in. And I found Rosie in a booth toward the back.
Well.
Oh, Rosie.
You've been running.
Move over, Rosie. Let me sit down next to you.
Hey, what's the matter?
Just the way we sat next to each other on my couch.
I must say, you're a hard guy to figure.
Oh, Rosie, you're beautiful.
Sure I am.
I don't know how to tell you what you mean to me.
Now he's got a square act. Tell you.
I love you, Rosie. And you have to love me just the way you behaved toward me back in my apartment. I've never had much experience with girls, but... now, please, Rosie.
You're a case, you are. It's so hard to keep up with you. Gosh.
Well, you don't understand, Rosie. You see, I've got these two personalities, and I don't blame you not to like one of them. But you did like the other one, didn't you?
Oh, brother.
Well, I'll do my best to get back into the other personality, and we'll have a lot of fun. We'll have a ball. Is that what they call it?
Uh-huh.
A ball. We'll have a ball, Rosie.
Oh,
see, I never knew I had this other personality, but now that I do know, boy, I'm going to have some fun out of life.
Mr. Jones, excuse me.
Oh, Lieutenant Hart.
Mr. Jones, I apologize to you for all that split personality stuff I was talking about. We got the guy.
What?
Fact, an absolute double for you, he is. Never saw anything like it. He saw you on the street one day, and he's been following you around, taking notes ever since.
He planned to have a ball and run up a big bill in your name.
You mean this isn't the guy I've been dating the past 3 weeks?
Nah, that guy's being held at the station.
Well, it doesn't have to matter, Rose.
It doesn't, huh? I thought you was acting funny tonight. And no wonder. You're not you. You're an imposter. Well, so long, Buster.
I called for her to come back, but she just kept on going. Out of that bar and out of my life. I refused Lieutenant Hart's offer to take me to the station so I could see the man who'd been impersonating me. No, I just came home. See, I'm trying to think my way out of this. I thought for a while tonight that I had a chance. I thought I had a split personality. But I haven't. I'm me. I'm Alvin Jones. Precise, exact, fussy, meticulous, scared. And I haven't got a girl. And I'll never have a girl. Oh, I wish I were that man in the jail who looks just like me.
Theater 5 has presented My Other Self, written by Robert Sennadella and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, William Redfield, Adrian Bayen, Walter Kinsella, and Sam Raskin. Audio engineer Marty Folia, sound technician Ed Blaney. Original music by Alexander Vlastatsenko. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking.
All right. That was awesome. Ooh,
thank you, Fred.
Yeah. One of the seven little Foys. Or was he? I don't know,
no.
But I do know that there's a possibility, a remote possibility, perhaps we could learn something.
There is. We can.
All right, good. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Garless, Moral of the Story.
Apologies to Gar. If you go away on vacation and you come back and find you're a more exciting person than you are, just go with the new you. That's my advice.
Sorry, Chuck. I'm sorry, Big Chuck.
I
can't help it.
I like good old Bob's message there. Wow, very odd tale.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. We do that. Odd is something we do often.
Yes. It happens every time I look in a mirror and say, boy, that's odd.
Yes. And oddly, we've got time for a little extra bonus material.
We do. Lots of time.
Got sure. How about a nice wheel?
We got nice time for a little bit of wheel there. Would you like to go up to the wheel and spin it? You're closer than I am.
All right. Yeah, but I'm lazier. But no, I'll go ahead and spin it. My large behind off the chair and reach up because it's like right next to me.
Around and around she goes, and where she's got, nobody knows.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the favorite of all our Maxwell House friends, Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks.
A
As usual, poor Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, has his hands full. His boss is flying to New York, and Daddy must meet him at the airport and deliver some important papers. Just to make things a little easier for him, Mother has left him with the baby until Snooks gets back from school. The time is growing short, and we find Daddy hurriedly checking the documents while waiting for Snooks to return. Listen.
Lord, I'll never get down there in time. Where's that Morgan estimate? Let's see. Well, I can clean this up in about 15 minutes. That'll give me about...
Showers around the moon, showers around the chimney pot, every afternoon. Hello, Daddy.
Hello, goodbye.
Goodbye, where are you going?
I'm not going, you are.
Why?
I have to work, and Mother says you're to watch the baby until she gets back.
I don't want to watch him.
Now, Snooks, you simply must help me out now. Go take care of him.
Can I hit him with a mop, Daddy?
I should say not.
Not even with the soft end?
Don't you dare hit him with anything.
Well, I don't want to watch him. Goodbye.
Come here. Snooks, are you serious about wanting to hit the baby?
I'm only fooling, Daddy.
I wouldn't put it past you, though. Mother told me you took all his clothes off yesterday. Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I wanted to see him barefoot all over.
Now, you just better behave yourself. You know, I'm awfully sorry to see you acting so badly, Snooks.
Are you, Daddy?
I certainly am.
Are you very sorry?
I'm very, very sorry.
Then I forgive you.
Ah, go sit in the baby's room. Just keep him occupied in case he wakes up.
Why don't you do it, Daddy?
Because it's not my job.
It's your baby, ain't it?
Snooks, where'd you hear that kind of talk?
You said it to Mummy last.
Never mind that. You just do as you're told. Now, I've got some work to do, and it has to be done in a hurry.
Why?
Because my boss is waiting for it. And if I don't get it to him in time, there'll be the devil to pay.
Is he your boss, Daddy?
Who?
The devil.
No, but he might just as well be.
Why?
I'll tell you some other time. Now, run along and let me finish.
I want to stay here.
Oh, listen, Snooks. If you're a good girl and do everything I tell you today, I'll buy you a new dog.
Yeah? What kind?
Well, I'll get you one that says Mama when you squeeze it. How's that?
No good.
Well, what do you want?
I want one that says ouch.
Very, very funny.
Yeah.
All right, now, let Daddy work. I'm sick of playing nursemaid to these kids all day.
Daddy.
Now, what is it?
Where's Mommy?
She's going to play bridge. Fine thing.
Fine thing.
That's all she ever thinks of. Bridge, bridge, bridge.
Bridge.
Oh, stop that. Think she can pull that stuff because she's got me for a husband? Well, I'll show her.
What you going to show her, Daddy?
Just wait. Someday the worm will turn.
Let me see you do it, Daddy.
Oh, leave me alone. Where's that Morgan estimate? Oh.
Daddy.
What do you want?
How can you tell if a worm came?
Now, what do you mean?
Ain't it the same on both ends?
I don't know. Let me work.
All right. Daddy.
Oh, what?
What's your husband?
I'm a husband to your mother.
Oh. And is Mummy your husband?
No. She's my wife.
Then who are you?
I just told you. I'm Mother's husband and your father.
Why?
Because we all make mistakes. And don't bother me with any more questions. I'll never get to the airport in time.
Who's there, Daddy?
My boss. He's flying to New York.
In an airplane?
No, on the back of an eagle. What are you yelling about?
You scared me.
Well, stop annoying me. Haven't you got any homework to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go on and do it.
I don't like to do homework.
Pretend you like it.
Now I'll pretend I done it.
Well, I don't care what you do. Just leave me alone.
All right.
I see. Freight, $32.50. Labor, $170.
Daddy!
Yes?
How does airplanes fly?
The same way birds do.
Can they fly as high as birds?
They can do anything a bird can do.
Can they lay eggs?
No.
Why?
I don't know. Labor, $170 material.
$210.
Now what is it?
Can toads fly?
No.
Now what's a pigeon toad?
It's not a toad at all. It's toad.
It ain't a toad, but it's a toad?
Yes. One is toad and the other is toad. And Pigeon Toad has nothing to do with pigeons and nothing to do with toads.
What has it got to do with?
Feet.
Huh?
Feet!
Do you feel all right, Daddy?
I feel fine. Now, look. All I ask is 5 minutes so I can clean this stuff up. What time is it?
I don't know.
Well, go in the kitchen and look at the clock.
All right, Daddy.
At last. Now I can finish this estimate. Labor, $170. Freight, $32.50. Material, $310.
I looked at the clock, Daddy.
Huh? Well, what does it say?
Tick-tock.
No. I mean, what time is it? Is it 6:45 yet?
No, it's 11:62 past 9.
No, I'm going.
I want to go with you, Daddy.
No! You've got to stay here and take care of the baby.
I don't want
to. Oh, look, Snooks, I haven't got a second to waste. If I miss that play...
He's hollering, Daddy.
You woke him up. Now go into the nursery and rock him to sleep again.
I ain't got a rock.
Now, you know what I mean. Oh, hurry up, Snooks. I have to leave. Now, you'll watch him for Daddy, won't you, Snooksy?
Hmm? Now I won't.
But that's enough. If you don't go to the baby immediately and rock him to sleep, I'll give you the licking of your life. Come on!
I'll rock this old kid of yours now, but...
But what?
But he'll have to rock the next one.
Ah, goodbye.
Ah, goodbye.
My favorite gags, rock the baby to sleep. I'll get the rock.
Yep. If you don't have a rock, use a brick. Right.
That's right.
Oh.
Better than Benadryl.
That's true. Hey, we still got some time. I could reach over here and put a wooden quarter in the jukebox.
No, you can't.
I can't?
Not yet. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm up to some mischief here. I'm caught in another area.
Uh-oh. I sense there's some trouble coming on here.
Yeah, just a little thing. There we go. Cha-cha-cha.
All right.
You say you got a nickel, do you?
Well, I thought the machine was upgraded to quarters, but okay.
Sure. In this economy, yeah, I think we're up to quarters now.
Yeah, a wooden quarter. I got a wooden quarter here.
All right, go ahead. Pop that in there.
All right, let me reach over and slide that in the old nickel spot.
Come true. Who, who's little lamb, strawberry jam? Who's candy jam are you? Who is a lucky girl? You saved all your kissing for. Who is the whom, to whom the groom? Soon we'll mean all this and more too. Who do you know? Who loves you so? Who's feeling mighty fine? Who she? She's me, little boy. Why, little boy, my little boy of mine. Jammer thinks you are the cat pajama. Who, who was if I had to tell you? Yes, indeed, I love you. Half the bees above you. Who, butcher, baker, doctor, lawyer, candle maker. Who, I know you know the answer. Guess I am the who's this. Guess I am the what's this.
Little who are you?
And who is the lucky girl? You saved all your kissing for. Who is the whom? To whom the groom? Soon we'll mean all this and more too. Who do you know? Who loves you so? Who's feeling mighty fine?
Who's she?
She's me, little boy. Why, little boy? My little boy, you're mine. Who's little boy?
Budweiser commercial featuring the crew cut.
Where there's life, there's fun. At a concert or a show, in your own backyard, wherever you go, Budweiser beer is for folks to know. Where there's life, there's fun. Budweiser.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Ignoring all you know about pigs and where they live and what they step in, you look at their pickled paws and say, yummy.
Look and taste.
Craving only the most daring meal, you pass up the cow tongue, skate by the head cheese, dismiss the Rocky Mountain oysters. But a pig's foot soaked in pickle juice, now that's good eating. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pickle Pig's Feet Eater, because it takes guts to eat those feet. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Cut to close.
This is Dolly Mason and all the group to really sing this about the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, I'm packing my grip, and I'm leaving today, cause I'm taking a trip, California away.
I'm gonna settle down and evermore roam,
and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sins, and I'll be making new friends. Out where the west begins and the sunset ends.
Cause I've decided where you truly should be,
and it's the San Fernando Valley for me.
I think that I'm safe from Satan. She will be waiting when my lonely journey is done.
And kindly old Reverend Thomas made us a promise, he will make the tour of us one.
So we're hitting the trail.
Yes, I'm hitting the trail.
To the cow country.
Oh, yippee-yay-yay.
To forward his mail.
Oh, give me that mail.
Care of RSD.
Oh, I'm going to set right down and never, never, never more roam.
And make the San Fernando Valley.
Make the San Fernando Valley my home.
Valley home.
That's right. Next weekend, we're facing another weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah. All about faces
with our own
stuff.
Faces. With our faces, yeah.
Yeah, The Whistler, The Shadow, and The Fat Man, and then CBS Radio Mystery Theater on Saturday as we face the weekend with our faces and stuff. See you next weekend.
Yep. Oh, okay.
Thanks for joining, Radio.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
On the Vortex, that's right. This week, this
you
Tuesday,
dig
right?
It?
Right.
9 a.m., 9 p.m. here. That's a horrible I didn't get the website in there, but
That's okay.
I got carried away.
That's
I had
okay.
to throw in a Bud Light commercial.
Yeah.
Along with the Bud Light.
Yeah, Budweiser and a Bud Light. There you go.
Yeah. Twin spin beer.
Budweiser with a Bud Light chaser. A good beer chaser. That's yeah.
Sounds like a nice afternoon little treat there.
Yeah. As long as you don't get caught with it every day, that's okay.
Yeah, I never was a vacation goer, you know?
I don't think I was, you know, we never really had the funds to do it. Now that I might have the funds to do it, we don't have the time to do it.
I just don't even want to anymore. I don't know. It's not that I've seen enough of the world. There's places in the world I'd like to see, but... it's a lot of money. It's getting increasingly more expensive and bothersome to travel.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Now, you guys were doing the Disney talk yesterday. I went on my first honeymoon to Florida.
The practice honeymoon, okay?
Yeah. Oh, somebody needed practice. Anyway. Dude, that's terrible. Yeah,
terrible.
And we got married in Hawaii. We went on a small, like a weekend vacation to Salt Fork. You know, there in southern Ohio, Salt Fork. They got a big cabin down there.
Okay.
Yep, and then the Bahamas thing. And I think that's like it. We never went anywhere when I was a kid. My dad was always working. He was a workaholic.
Yeah.
On occasion, on Sundays.
Yeah, I don't think we could really afford to go on a lot of them. A lot of them we did go. My grandpa and grandma went with us, so I think they helped foot some of the bill. And we took trailer, so we stayed at trailer parks. But we did go to a few cool places like Colonial Williamsburg and Boston and some places like that. You know?
Yeah. I went once with a bunch of other sales guys on in a trailer, like a motorhome,
uh-huh.
You know? That was
right,
kind of cool.
Okay.
It was a nice one. Nice air conditioning, nice things.
Yeah, ours didn't have air conditioning. Our air conditioning was the condition of the air.
Yes.
Open windows
the conditions
there.
Were, that's the air you're getting.
Yep, that was the air we were getting, yeah. Yeah, I did go to some interesting places, you know, because my dad worked for the Y, so he took some Y trips. So, you know, I've been to Washington, D.C. a few times and New York City and, you know, some places like that because I did. New York City once.
I was thinking of that.
I certainly could appreciate it more now than I did then. But, yeah, so I've been a few places.
Yeah, I've never been to New York City. I have no desire to go. It's way too overpopulated for me. And right now, conditions being what they are, no thanks.
Yeah. There are some things that I wouldn't mind trying to see it in New York City. I mean, there's still a lot of TV shows that still, you know, like The Daily Show and Stephen Colbert, the TV shows, the host, and they don't really cost anything to get into. And, it would be nice to say you made a Broadway play once, you know, got to see a Broadway play in Broadway, but what the heck? I've seen the touring.
I'd
Broadway
like to break into the Colbert show. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Kind of see what would happen.
And we escorted out.
Yeah,
we escorted out and edited out as well. So.
Yeah. Kind of a weird thing there. Let's see, where else have I been? I had a 3-month vacation in Alabama called Basic Training.
Yeah, I don't think Basic Training is considered a vacation by most people, Dale.
It was like camping, just a lot of exercise. Oof.
Yeah.
Guys yelling at you.
Yeah. What is that all about?
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that because I remember being on our Catholic church had, they were part of CYO. You must know what CYO is.
Yeah, the Christian Youth Organization. Yeah,
I was on a CYO football team. for Holy Trinity in Bedford Heights. Look this up in like the mid-70s, early 70s, like 72, 73. I'll never forget our defensive coach.
Wait. You scored two touchdowns at the end of a game to win it, right?
Four touchdowns,
UNL,
one game.
Right?
Four touchdowns,
yeah,
one game.
Like
Al Bundy.
Like Al Bundy, right?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. I'll never forget our defense. I played offense, but I'll never forget our defensive coach, Mr. Lorenny. This guy, yep. He was an ex-Marine, and he was so mean to kids. Like, not mean, but he was extremely strict and extremely loud. He would grab you by the helmet and practically crawl in there and scream at you. I'll tell you what. I have no idea what it's like to lose an organized game of football. For the 3 years I played, we never lost a game. One year, we did not get scored upon.
That's I remember, afraid of your coach.
I remember our in basic training, this one drill sergeant was yelling and screaming at me, calling me names and yada, 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 yada. Then after everything was over later on, he called me to the side and he goes, I can make any other 18-year-old cry for their mama. He says, why can't I break you down? And I told him about this football coach. I said, and quite frankly, Sergeant, you're not as mean as he was. You know that SOB went and called down into Bedford Heights. He called that church, and sure enough, he verified the team and everything, and he came back, and he says, he just like shook, he nodded his head up and down like he approved of the whole situation, you know. That was pretty cool. But what it is those kind of things, you could either be broken down by it or become stronger or better because of it.
Yes.
And I'm not saying I'm a better person, but I think I became a better person because of being in the military, you know what I mean? You wouldn't believe some of the people from remote areas did not know how to wash themselves. You know, let's just say their hygiene habits left much to be desired. Well, that doesn't fly in the military. You wash your backside, you know?
Yeah.
You shave. You look presentable.
Right.
Yep. And some of those kids really needed that.
Yeah. I can imagine so.
Yeah. It was good times. Good experience to learn from. And I needed the discipline, believe me.
Nah, not you.
Oh, yeah. I should probably go back and do a few more months.
I think we're too far gone now, buddy.
Oh, God. Yeah, I would be having a stroke while they're trying to march around the place and run you to death. Get you in shape for whatever. But, good times. So, yeah, that was not really a vacation, no.
No.
Although sometimes a two-week summer camp was, depending on what you did. You know, we got activated one summer camp, but to assist with the Cuban refugee crisis. But most of the time it was going to the range and target shooting, so it's kind of like vacation. Hey, we went out and shot guns. Wee! And targets. The non-human kind, the best kind, and non-animal kind. No, did you do camping when you were a kid?
I did. I mean, I did a lot of Boy Scouts, and then that's why, you know, anymore when I rough it, I'll you know, roughing it for me is not having HBO, you know.
Yeah. No Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi. No. I must have Wi-Fi.
No cell phone. Yeah, I would need something, man. A battery-powered disc player, if nothing else. Take some discs with you. To pass the time. I would like to go camping with this dumb dog.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I found out today he's not that thunderstorms don't bother him a whole lot. We went out on the front porch for a thunderstorm and he was okay with it. There was one real loud boom that kind of shook him up a little bit, but then he's like, "Yeah, whatever."
That's pretty unique. That's pretty unique for a dog.
Yeah. My husky that's how he got his name. He was a coward with storms. So the name was kind of in jest because he was courageous with a lot of things, but not with thunderstorms. He was a big baby.
Yeah.
That was another big dog. I'm getting old. He's kind of too big for me. I got to get a... He won't jump into Denise's little... She's got one of those little Buick trucks. What do you call them? Encore?
Yeah.
Tasting more, it's Encore. Anyway, he won't jump into it. Lazy lump. I'm getting kind of old to be picking him up. He's almost 90 pounds.
Well,
90 pounds of lazy collie.
Time to get a board that you can put up there. I have one. I call it the rough ramp, and she could walk up the ramp and get in the van that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
As she got older and couldn't jump, I made what I called the rough ramp. So
yeah, well, that's the thing too. Being a big dog, when he gets older, that's really going to be impossible. So
yeah.
I need to do something. And he does like going cruising. Some crazy neighbor rides around in his car and he opens his sunroof up and he's got a husky and it's hilarious seeing a half of a husky on top of a car sticking up going.
Well, you know, we're on this. I'm confused. You roll your window down or in that case the husky sticks his head out the sunroof. You know, why is it dogs love to have their face in the wind but they don't like it when you blow in their face? Why is that?
Oh, God. What? No, I'll go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that was the question. You need the question again?
Yes, I do, because I got a disturbing message.
Oh, okay. No, the thing was, you know, I've noticed that dogs love to stick their heads out and wave it in the wind, or they stick their head, you know, like you said. But yet, if you blow in their face, it bothers the tar out of them.
Ah.
I lost you again.
Yeah, sort of.
I ain't doing it a third time.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I was lucky to get it a second time. Okay. Anyway. Anyway, perhaps with that, maybe it should be time that we turn off the lights, put on the three spotlights, and bring out the one, the only James Durante to bid us all adieu.
Adieu.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo. Ari, bow up, we the same. And ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night.
All right, good night already.
Bye.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.
Radio.